We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our next community meal will be January the 21st here at Trinity United Methodist from 5 to 7 in the evening, and they will be serving chili. Please come and join the good food and fellowship. Our special music this morning will be presented by Jim Paffenberger and Mark Smallwood, We Shall Overcome.
Mark and I are once again known as Proof, and we've got a song that we've selected today. It's called We Shall Overcome. What page is it, Mark, on the...
If you'd like to sing along, it's on 533.
Little history about this song. I'm not here to challenge the words in the book, but the original author goes back to a gentleman named Charles Tindley, who was born in the 1850s. And this song is also about civil rights and the civil rights movement. It's probably the hymnal for civil rights movement. Charles Tindley ended up, because of his efforts, the pastor of African Methodist Episcopalian Church in Philadelphia. However, as a child, laws did not allow him to get an education. But laws did not allow him to stomp out his eagerness and his ability and his desire to learn to read. So he taught himself to read and write, and he taught himself other languages, and he finally became a minister of that church I just mentioned. And he wrote this song. He wrote many other songs too as well. However, one interesting fact about him is that he always tried to write songs that had a hook so that the congregation could join in and sing if they wanted to.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to invite you to do today. As we sing, you're welcome to sing along with us a verse or two or every one of them. And we also picked this song because this is...
It's easy to sing.
It's easy to sing, yes. But we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday in a week or so, and he was probably the civil rights movement figurehead. Amen. And he did so much for civil rights in this country. Little fact about him, though, I learned this week, and I don't think it's fake news. Did you know that he and his wife paid for the hospital bills when Julia Roberts was born? He did. She was her parents owned a theater, and they struggled. And they allowed the King's children to participate in the theater down there. And so they paid
for Julia Roberts' birth because the parents were just struggling afterwards in the theater.
So he did many other things as well. But we just thought we'd share that with us as we sing, and you're invited to sing this song as well. We Shall Overcome.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday.
We'll walk hand in hand.
We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we'll walk hand in hand someday.
We shall all be free.
We shall all be free. We shall all be free. We shall all be free someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall all be free someday.
We shall live in peace.
We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall live in peace someday.
The Lord will see us through.
The Lord will see us through. The Lord will see us through. The Lord will see us through each day. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe the Lord will see us through someday.
Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from Luke 2:21, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Our sermon this morning is In the Name of Jesus by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Good morning. In today's gospel, we have been told how 8 days after the birth of Jesus, on this day, which we celebrate today, he was given the name Jesus. The name was not only given to him. It was given to us all. It was given to the whole world. It was given to all future generations that it might bless us. The name which most of us have known since our earliest recollections. From little tiny childhood, we have heard the name Jesus. Today, we encounter it again. It is written over our life, over our future, and over this new year. If we seek together to live under the name of Jesus, gathering in his house, filled with his presence, praying to him, we shall have a good year, despite whatever might happen in this year, 2023. James, the brother of Jesus, calls the name by which you were called, James 2:7. The name of Jesus is the name by which you were called. He has called to each and every one of us since the day of our birth. Some of us took a little longer to respond than others. You were baptized in the name of Jesus. You were brought to him once. And you were blessed by him. Your life was left in his hands. You each take part in all of the blessings that fall under his name, including the blessings of his good news, the Holy Word. Uh-oh, that wasn't the Bible. That was the hymnal. My bad. Jesus lies deep in the heart with each and every one of us. He cleanses our hearts like we cleanse the stains that come upon our clothes. He will follow us throughout our lifetime, and in death his hand is reached out to us time and time again. Standing at the deathbed, I have heard people say that they see Jesus coming for them. Once upon a time, a long time ago, people thought that that was too much morphine or that the person was just out of their mind with pain. But now even the medical community recognizes that there is a God, and that people often draw close to them as that veil is drawn closer and closer to us. He will answer for each of us in eternity. You should only trust Him and hold fast to Him. You receive the name of Jesus written upon your forehead and upon your heart. Strive to do all in your power to maintain that name written upon your heart. For when you do, your life's actions are a testimony to His living word. Jesus has written His name upon you so that when you encounter life, temptation, sin, suffering, and death, you will encounter it with the security of knowing that He has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where the good name of Jesus is written above all other names as their best friend, their advocate, and their precious Redeemer. Do you remember your first love? Or somehow, has your heart waned in your affection towards your first love, Jesus Christ? You must strive daily to keep His name upon your lips and etched in your mind and on your heart, all who belong to Him. He does not forget us, but we tend to turn away from Him day by day. He seeks us out. He seeks to reconcile us with His good and holy Father. He seeks to be present with us, to be our best friend, to be our strength, and to be our guide daily. We need Him in our life and for our blessedness. But we tend to forget Him and turn away. He does not forget us. He remembers us in everything that He has done. Today, the name is written as a promise over our future. A promise of what, you might ask? Of this: Jesus cannot forget you. You each can still receive all of the good and gracious gifts written in His living word. How? Because you have His name written over your life and upon your heart. Write it first upon your Sabbath day. Write it first upon Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is our day that we spend connecting with our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some of us, like me, might have a different Sabbath day than Sunday. But that Sabbath rest is extremely important. God has given us His rest so that we might find strength and healing and peace in that rest. This is a chaotic world filled with hustle and bustle. But when we take the time, just 1/7 of our lifetime, to rest in Him, we are nourished by that rest. We are given all that we need to make it through the rest of the week. His promise to us that when two or three are gathered in His name, He is indeed amongst us. On this day, the Lord's day, let us give thanks for Jesus Christ. Let us give thanks for all that He means to each one of us individually and all that He means to us as the body of Christ here on earth. That Sabbath rest will strengthen us. That Sabbath rest will connect us to Him so that we might more clearly hear His voice. That Sabbath rest is what prepares our heart for those still quiet moments when He speaks directly to us individually without having that rest in Him. The world crowds in and we cannot hear His precious voice. When we now stand before this year, let each one of us resolve to do everything that we do as if we were doing it for the Lord Himself, to do everything in His precious name. I ask you now, as your pastor, and I pray that each one of you will contact me and answer the question, what is it that I can do for your heart? What is it that I can do for your soul? Can I pray? Can I come alongside of you? Can I be present with you during the hard times of your life? For silver and gold I have not. But what I do have, just as Peter said to the man outside of the gate called Beautiful, what I do have, I offer freely in the name of Jesus. Peter said to that lame man, get up and walk. Rise up. And I say to you now, go forth in Jesus' name, because that is all the power that each and every one of us needs. The good name by which we are called makes it possible, not with gold and silver, but with His holy and precious blood, the blood that He shed for each and every one of us. Can you say to yourself that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that were you to be the only person on earth, He still would have shed that blood for you? I pray that that is so, because then you have the most life-sustaining, precious gift that you could ever have, knowing that He is your Redeemer, knowing that He would give His life up for you. The name of Jesus will ensure that you will receive everything needed, that forgiveness is not yet finished. You will be forgiven the things that you have done, and when you go to Him and ask forgiveness, the things that you will do. The Lord's table is set for each and every one of us. Scripture calls it being justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your guilt cries out to heaven. Your heart is not pure. You and I are unrighteous. But over our guilt is the good name of Jesus Christ that atones for all. In His name you receive faith. That faith is brought directly into your heart and kept in your heart so that you might hear His voice, so that you might live here in this church this year, where the Word of God will be preached, where repentance, where forgiveness, where joy, where peace will be preached. To live as God's child is to live in the name of Jesus. Each and every one of us are inheritors. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. We are precious children held in His hands, cared for and loved beyond our wildest imagination. I know that there are times where it is difficult for us to believe, but it is true. God loves our children, our mates, and our friends even more than we do. When my son had his heart broken and he attempted suicide, I was crushed. I was in Indiana and he was in Virginia, and I had no way to get to him. And I remember talking to my mentor and saying, David, I don't know what to do for him. You see, I had called the magistrate and sent the police over there. And he opened the door with a blanket around him. And sadly, because he was depressed, he had a bottle under that blanket, and they thought it was a gun, and they took him down. So he refused to talk to his mom for a while. And my mentor told me, you take him and you place him in your hands and you lift him up to his father, because his father loves him even more than you possibly could. And I'll never forget as long as I live. I drove to the church and I went behind the baptistry and I literally did what David told me to do. I placed my precious son in my hands and I held him before the Lord and I prayed over him. And do you know, he called me right after that prayer was over and he said, Mama, I'm so sorry. My heart just hurt so much. I didn't know what to do with it. When we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, it is powerful. And he loves those who we are praying for more than we possibly could. Whatever you ask of the Father, in my name he will give to you. John 16:23. This good name is written over even the poorest of our prayers. I don't know about you, but I tend to pray distractedly. I pray 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then something catches my attention and I have to bring it back to the prayers. But Jesus Christ takes even our most distracted prayers and he sorts through it. He blows away the chaff. And he takes the essence, the heart of the prayer, and he brings it to God our Father. He intercedes for us. He stands at the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us. That one is mine. That one is mine. That one is mine. Because that one has loved me, because that one did not deny my name. Finally, to live in his name also means that we may very well suffer persecution. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name. John 15:20-21. He who cannot tolerate the name of Jesus must feel an instinctive dislike for all of us who confess Jesus' name. There must be insults, taunts, harassment, defamation, and false criticism, perhaps even open persecution. It is nothing to dread, beloved. On the contrary, Jesus says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely, because you have loved me. Just when people distort your best intentions, mock your honest attempts to do what is right, damage your good name, or worse yet, damage the things that you hold most sacred. We can rejoice when people do these things. That means that we, just as the apostles, are worthy of being persecuted in the name of Jesus. When people make fun of us, I was called a fanatic. I worked in the children's dental office for a long time. I was an expanded duties dental assistant, meaning the doctor would prep the teeth and I would fill them. I'd finish the surgery off. I had little prayers here and there that I could focus on. I would pray with the parents before I injected their child so that they would be sedated throughout the procedure. And a lot of the people that I worked with made terrible fun of me. And when they gossiped about everyone else, I would remove myself. I would go find something to clean or something to do because I didn't want to be part of it. And they would tell others, she thinks she's better than us. No, I just didn't want to be part of that. And then the rumor started that I was a fanatic. At one point, Indiana Wesleyan and called when I had applied for a supervisory position while I was going to school out there, and they asked for a reference. And they were told, oh, she's a fanatic. You don't want to hire her. And oddly enough, the person hiring me told me that was exactly why I wanted to hire you. If you thought that much of our Lord and Savior that these people would think you were a fanatic, then we want you here working among these students and working among our other employees. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which my sins can be atoned. There is no other name by which all who now taunt and defy and are so spiritually unfortunate can finally be saved and have peace. This name is nothing to be ashamed of. Hold on to it calmly. Let it continue to be released from your lips in all of your prayer, and let it make its way unto your ear from the word that is preached. Behold, Jesus says, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. Revelation 3:8. Then you also shall experience the day when there will no longer be night, darkness of winter, or days, or years, but the good name shall remain. For Scripture says, they will see his face, and he will put his name on their foreheads. Revelation 22:4. And it will never again be possible for that good name to fade away from you.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation,